This message was recorded live at the Life Church UK building. We hope that you are truly blessed and encouraged by today's message. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
We're talking about endless love and forgiveness. I really felt last week was a very powerful time in the Word. And you have to decide if you represent your Father or if you represent just the daily living. For me, my life stands in reference to my loving Heavenly Father because that's Jesus to me. And I choose that life with all my heart. And I know you cannot live the life of self-sacrifice without Jesus. Not possible, because our natural nature is self-centered. You can't do it. You'll run out of steam. If you try to live the self-sacrificial life of Jesus, you won't be able to do it without him, because your ability is limited. And you know that. And we all can. And if you don't live out of the resources of God and you choose to live that life of taking up your cross and denying yourself and following Jesus, then you can really have a breakdown in life. And I've seen it. I've seen people trying to live this life that I believe in with all my heart without a personal, practical, daily relationship with the Lord. You cannot do it. And then at the same time, I've seen people taste the power of that self-sacrificial love and want it, but not be willing to pay the price. So it takes both. It takes us surrendering. It takes him working it. So, and that is right there in a nutshell, Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. That we should do our part, but with his strength. And I believe in this. And folks, Christianity will never hold its identity without it. As long as we're in this flesh, as long as we're in this flesh, you will not be able to live the Christ life without the cross. Not possible, because this flesh in its nature is sinful. And I've seen many people start out good, but lose the identity of the Lord. You've got to keep embracing the cross and someday exchange it for a crown, as the great hymn says. I cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And I was sitting with my mother a couple of weeks ago, and she's 96, going on 97. And she's really at the gates of glory, waiting for the Lord to take her home. But she is so beautiful, so innocent, so clean, so pure, so full of loveliness and sweetness. And I could see she's getting closer because her faculties are starting to shut down and they only come alive as the spirit comes up in her. But if the spirit's not coming up, then you could see her faculties are closing down. And so she is leaving this tent and entering her reward. But if you saw how lovely she was, I looked at it and I said in my heart, Father, I want this when I'm that old. If you permit me to live this long, I want to offer that to you at the end. And of course, if you want to be like that, for me, that will be about 30 some years for me to get there. I've got to work on it today because it takes a little while. And then yesterday, and some of you know her, my dear sister Connie's daughter Melanie went to be with Jesus, and she was 42. And I've had the privilege to be a spiritual dad for her and her brother, Brenton Stanley, and I've been standing with them. She's been in an incredible battle of faith, and she has fought an incredible battle of faith. My goodness, on Sunday I was talking with her husband. She's been in the hospital for the last 6 months, and you know, I was talking with them on Sunday, and if you heard that soul praying and worshiping God, that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful person. And I was there in July, and you know, when you live in the battle of faith, I fought the good fight of faith, Paul says, noble, excellent fight of faith. When you live that every day, then the rewards that are eternal will manifest here and there. Okay, and in other words, you all of a sudden see your eternal reward manifest for a moment in the flesh. And so I went to the hospital to go see her in July, and she's been in the hospital for 6 months now. But and I went to go see her, and they were working on her with tubes and so forth, because different reasons, and a lot of pain and so forth. And I went in there, and I said, "Hi, Mel." And I sat down next to her and took her hand. She's right here. "I know. Oh, Robert, thank you for coming." I couldn't say another word. The moment her spirit connected with my spirit, I started praying, and the Holy Spirit, bam, filled that room like a tornado, because what she has in the spirit began to manifest as we connected, began to manifest. And if you saw the pure worship of God, the pure love of God, the unadulterated union with God through Jesus that she lived in. And just the day she passed on, she said to her mom, Connie, my sister, she said, "Mom, all for His glory." And she shouted it, "All for His glory, Mom. All for His glory, Mom." She shouted. And you see, I want to be like that. I have a lot of people I look at and I go, "I see Jesus." I want to be like that. And I think we should be an inspiration. I don't know about you, but I want to be an inspiration to everybody around me. I don't want to be somebody who's always poor me, and they don't love me, they don't think about me, they don't call me. God forbid that I would live in such a thing. No, I don't want to be somebody always wanting, needing. I want to live out of the rich treasury of my Father's glory and be a river of love and life to the people around me, and especially those in my own home. And, you know, I'm just going to talk for you a moment. I'm leaving on Monday, which I was anyway, to go minister in California, and where I'm going to minister in Glendale Monday night. I leave Monday morning, get there Monday afternoon, and I minister Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night there in Glendale. And her husband, Phil, and their two children, Ariana, she's 18, I think, the daughter, and Micah is 14, I think, or 15. They live right there, so I'll be able to have time with them. And the funeral will probably be next week. But anyway, listen to this. If you extend your soul, this Isaiah 58, verse 10 and verse 11. Isaiah 58, verse 10 and 11. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Now, take that word. When you live and say, "Father, I want to be a comfort, an encouragement, a strengthening. I want to be a blessing. I want to extend my soul to the hungry." There's people hungry, hungry for friendship, hungry for kindness, hungry for some attention. It's so easy, folks, if you live this way, to bless somebody. Instead of always living, "I need, I want." Can you hear me? Let's become a river of His life and love to those around us. Yes? Okay. Open your Bibles with me in John chapter 15, where Jesus tells you and me His great commandment. He says in John 15, verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So, this is what I want to lay in your heart And I pray that you choose this way that Jesus sets before us. Do what the Lord says. If people say, why do you live this way? I serve Jesus. I do the will of my Savior and my Lord. What is his will? He's commanded me to love as he loves. I live by that commandment. That's my choice in life. They're angry, but I'm not going to be angry. They hate, but I'm not going to hate. They curse, I'm not going to curse. Nope, I will not do it. Why not? It violates what I live for. I live to fulfill his commandment, to love as he loves. My life stands in reference to him. Jesus loved us. Yes or no? And demonstrated that love for us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And while we were ungodly, he died for us. And while we were enemies, he died for us. He died for the ungodly, for the sinner, and for the enemy, it says in Romans chapter 5. You read it, chapter 5, verse 5 through 8, says he died for the ungodly, for the sinner, and for the enemy. Ungodly. Some people are horribly ungodly. Cruel. I'm not going to treat them the way they are. I'm going to treat them the way he is, my Father. I represent him. Amen? And praise the Lord if it blesses them. But if they reject it, they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting him. No. Choose to live this way. Don't become a victim of the way others are towards you. Never. Never. Refuse to be a victim. No, I will not be a victim. No, I'm a victor in Christ. He always gives me the victory. No, I keep loving, and that's why I'm happy. See, I abide in that joy. You will remain in my joy, and your joy will be full. When you get angry, are you happy? When you're all mean and cruel, are you happy? Makes you feel terrible, doesn't it? So no, choose not to be this way. You cannot live with this gospel that I'm giving you without Jesus. If you abide in his love, you will have all that you need to keep loving. No matter how you got treated, no matter how you get rejected, no matter how you get no response, you do it all, but they never say thank you, and they never, it doesn't affect you. In all these things, you're more than conquerors through him who loved us. It says in Romans chapter 8. You're more than a conqueror. You rule over those behaviors. And I find it sad when people are mad or cruel and mean, and I want to comfort them and help them out of it, and I will do my part to be able to give it to them. But if they refuse it, I know it's not me they're refusing. It's him who I represent. But you cannot live this life without Jesus. You got to abide in his love. And Jesus said in John 17, verse 26, the last verse of that phenomenal chapter, he said, Father, I have revealed you, your name. I've revealed you to them so that the same mighty love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Hear me. Okay, Father, I've revealed you to them, and I will keep on revealing you to them so that the same mighty love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Folks, when you choose this life, it is a choice. And you say, that's where I'm going to live. And I thank you, Father, for working it in me. I thank you for starting this life of your love in me and perfecting it. And sometimes, folks, we're in a place we go, okay, I've stepped out of my first love. I've allowed myself to be overcome, and now I'm feeling like they feel, angry, bitter, envy, resentful. Resentful is you are angry about the price you have to pay. That's resentment. And I'll tell you, when you become resentful, it's like sending a signal for the devil to come and destroy you. And I tell you, I've had to, in times, really stand against that. No, no, I will not be bitter about the price I have the privilege of paying. No, I'm not going to complain. It's the nature of sin to complain. Complaining is throwing a fit for not getting what you want. your flesh wants. Your person wants this, you don't get it, and that's expressed in complaining. That is you throwing a fit. No, I'm not going to be like a little crybaby that throws a fit every time I don't get what I want, every time I don't get what I desire. No, I won't do it. No, the Lord is my joy and the rejoicing of my heart. In Him I'm complete. In Him I lack nothing, want nothing. Those who fear the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The Lord is my joy and the rejoicing of my heart. David said in Psalm 4, you have given me more joy than they have when they look at their bountiful harvest and new wine. You have given me more joy. I take that Psalm 4. I take those scriptures and meditate on it and say, Father, you give me more joy than people who talk about they got it all. They got it all. You give me more joy. You are my contentment, my satisfaction. In you, I am happy, Father. I delight myself in you, Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. And I want to encourage you, choose that way. Jesus said, if you abide in my love, your joy will come to fullness. How about being happy all the time? Wouldn't that just be nice? Not just for yourself, but for the people around you. And people say, why are you so happy? Yeah, where do I start? God loves me. God likes me. God's for me, with me. Hallelujah. Do you not have problems? Recently, yoo-hoo. It's been a bonanza of problems. But in all these things, I feel this love of my Father. Yoo-hoo. I don't know where I would have been without the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I surely would have perished under all these stresses. But in all these things. So, come on. Jesus saying, as the Father loved me, as I love you. Now, take that thought to heart. You must live out of the resource that never fails. His love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. His love never fails. Our love fails pretty quick. How easy is it for you to get irritated? How easy is it for you to kind of, I'm done. I'm not putting up with this. And you've run out of grace. Right? Come on now. Let's admit it. All of us can get ticked off sometimes over silly things. Have you ever felt that? I hate that feeling in me. I don't want to know the boundaries of my nature. I want to know the unlimited love of my Father. And live out of that resource. So I pursue it. And I look at those scriptures and I pray them and pray them. And I say, Father, your love is sufficient. Your love is more than enough. He says that you in Ephesians 3 may know the height, the depth, the breadth and length of his love. The Living Bible says you will never find the end of it. It's so eternally great. God is love. Who can measure God? Even the universe cannot contain him. So who can measure God's love? It never fails. It never diminishes. It never gets less. You got to live out of that river. You really need the revelation of this. It needs to become real inside of you. And once you've tasted, you drank out of that river that never runs dry of his love. You know where to go when you hit your limits. You know when you're being pressed beyond what you can bear. You know what to do when you're getting hurt or angry or upset or resentful. You know what to do. Oh, Marikisha, my Father. Lord, I need you. Thank you that you're always here with me. And you begin to worship. But there springs up that fountain. There comes that river in the consciousness of your flesh, and you know your ability to love comes out of the Father. That's what I'm trying to show you. And we need to live this way, because there are many within the Christian world who don't know this, who don't preach this. Nowadays, folks, you can get easy tickets out of trouble. I remember the Lord spoke to this one wife who wanted to leave her husband. And the Lord spoke to her, and she knew God spoke to her. But then, pop, she got pushed by something right at the end of the meeting, and she wasn't able to hold in. And they got divorced. And all the hell, all the hell. And I know sometimes it happens, folks. So I'm not down on people who go through it. It can happen to the most purest, most beautiful, most innocent people. But there are also times when the Lord really has done everything to stop it. And either you or the other person just will not enter into that love. And I believe we need that love, don't we, in the world today, when so many families are being torn apart, when so many homes are being torn apart. And if you've gone through divorce, don't think I'm having a go at you. Not at all. Not by any means. I've walked through it with people, and mercy, it is nothing that anybody would wish on anybody else, but it does happen. But you don't have to be a victim of it. I personally, I know not every pastor believes it, I personally believe you can completely recover and completely be restored, and you can have a new beginning. Amen. Without question. I believe that with all my heart, but you do have to let the Lord restore your soul and heal your life. And that often is not easy to wait on a little bit, because that often takes a bit of time. It takes time. And you have to then learn how to live in a new place. And there are certain rules to it, to that new life. It's an interesting subject. And I'm happy to answer any personal questions you may have on it, but it's better maybe not say it all publicly. But dear friends, without that love, none of us will be able to make it without making some painful mistakes in life. I personally believe love never fails. I fail, but love doesn't. Love believes the best. I don't know about you. If I don't have that law guarding my heart, I could be provoked by somebody who's close to me. I remember one pastor, I was helping him deal with a real painful situation. And I saw him bear the crown of thorns, so to speak. All the people's misjudgment of him and fear of his authority and all of that were laid on him, and he bore it until it was disarmed. And then there was peace, and they believed in his love for them. And there was rest, and there was trust. But then his right-hand man spent time with them and heard the exact same thing that he had already heard. But when that man shared it with him, he could not hold it, and wow, it's unbelievable, the destruction. It was a beautiful church in another country with 150 people was completely destroyed because of the offense got through the door. Completely destroyed, so nothing left. And people went through years and years and years of sorrow, and it affected that city. That one church fall affected that whole city. And we don't always realize how powerful it is when you've got a healthy home here where there's love, when you have a healthy church where there's love, how powerful that affects a community, how powerful that holds back the forces of hell and darkness. Jesus, through the love of the Father, destroyed the devil and his evil works on mankind and was a beacon of new life for anybody who wants it. Isn't that true? But he conquered through love. And we need to know this endless love, this never failing love that never runs dry. First John. Yeah, folks, I've seen things, and I pray daily, make me a better pastor, Lord. Help me, Lord, and that I may serve you. And I've seen some wonderful things, you know, it's not only negative things, but I do see when love cannot win, how painful the consequences can be. And I've seen when love has won. I've seen it. Oh my goodness. It's beautiful. It's sweet. It's heavenly. I can't tell you all the examples because it affects people's lives. So listen to this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a thought? Can we all get in a place where we don't have that love? We do. One of the most influential and powerful churches in the New Testament, to which Jesus wrote his first letter, the Church of Ephesus, had lost their first love. And the Lord says, I know you have all these other things and they're all good, but if you don't have your first love, you'll lose your influence on society. You know, we could have all kinds of things here as a church. You can have prophetic anointing, a miraculous anointing, miracles, healings. You have all these wonderful gifts and blessings, and they're all powerful and all needed and all important. But if we don't have love, we lose our influence on the world. Can you hear me? And love is not just some feeling. No, it is God himself. God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation is merciful. The word describes Christ's sacrificial death as appeasing the wrath of God on account of sin. It also pictures his death providing a covering for sin. Do you know something? Real spiritual power is not just to be able to nail something that's wrong. It's to be able to hold back the judgment and to minister love that brings forgiveness and reconciliation and healing. And I don't know about you, but I want to keep growing in that daily. I want to know that kind of power of love that Jesus displayed in that he took our place and bore the wrath of God. And all that came out of him was, Father, forgive them. And I pray that we pursue this and that we have this as a congregation. And if I could say this to you, I know very well that I have more power in my union with you and those around me than I would by myself. And if you think you could just do it without the church or without these divine unions, you'll find out that you're limited by yourself. In other words, something can hit us, and if, God forbid, it comes through me, I can guarantee you that Virginia would never agree with it. Ever. She would look at me, hello? I don't know this guy. I know the man of love. I don't know this man. I don't know about you, but I think we ought to be identified by love. By this, Jesus said in John 12, they will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amen. Right? And she will immediately look at me and she says, honey. Oh, thanks, babe. Yes. Oh, how can I dare allow myself to express such feelings and thoughts? No. They don't represent God. We need that. You need somebody to say to you, no, come on now. I agree, that was painful, but you know the love of God. Come on. Do you know some people don't want that? They don't want that. They don't want to be restrained. When they're mad, they're like the devil. They will not rest until the destruction has come through them. That is satanic. That is demonic. That is the devil. He wants a body to express himself. My body is not to express the devil and his thoughts and his ways. My body is to express my heavenly Father and his thoughts and his ways. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And no, I want to be stopped. I want to be stopped. Stop me. Rather the bruises of a friend than the kisses of an enemy, the scripture says. No, stop me. I want to be stopped. I'll say thank you for stopping me. Say amen. Say, I want to be able to be stopped. Yes. When you've been grabbed by some evil spirit who punches you with these thoughts and provokes you to offense, you want somebody to say, hey, come on. We know better than this. Oh, yeah. Thanks. You're right. I don't know better than this. Oh, thank you for holding me back. Agree? So, Jesus holds us back. He is the propitiation. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. But this we know, that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Listen, my last verse, 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. We have known and believed. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Whenever you're in a conflict of sorrow, right? In a conflict of unkindness and cruelness, find that as your refuge. Find that love as your refuge. How do you find it? Open up these scriptures. Open up 1 John. Start reading in chapter 3, for example. And you just read it, and before you know, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit of the love of the Heavenly Father, and you begin to worship, and you say, Father, I hide in your love. I hide in your love. In your love I'm safe, Father. You are merciful. You are gracious. You are good. I love you, Father, for loving me. And that endless love will not just comfort you, but empower you to stand against whatever has been trying to crush you, hurt you, wound you, and will give you the power to say, Father, have mercy. And you're praying for those who are wounding you. And you completely disarm the devil right there. And you've given him no power. No power. I'll never forget, and I'll close with this, Bob de Jong. He's a pastor in the Netherlands when I was 26, 25, I think. I was pastoring, and Bob and his dear wife had four or five, I can't remember. I think four. And his wife just suddenly passed away, unexpectedly. And Bob got up for all of us ministers. It was about 100 and some of us. And I'm sitting there as a young man listening to that man. And he read Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16, 17, when the vine gives no more fruit and the pomegranate fails and there's no harvest and there's no animals in the stall and there's nothing left in life, yet I will worship God and praise God. He read that, and I'm sitting there listening. And truly, honestly, I saw the love of the Father comforting that precious man in the unbearable sorrow of being left behind with all these little bitty children. They were all little, without his wife. And I tell you the truth, I saw that. I said, Father, I want to be like that. I want to know that love that that man knows. And friends, we should be an inspiration of love for one another. You know something, you could be in the store. I remember being in Sainsbury's, and I was with Virginia, and all of a sudden I felt this love of God pulling on me. I said, honey, the Lord needs me. I'll be back in a minute. I didn't know what, and there I saw a lady standing there, and I felt to walk up to her, and I said, you know, I feel God's love is coming to you. And she starts crying. She said, my husband just left me. And I was praying, Father, help me. And that was a simple little thing that I had the privilege to just extend the love of the Father to that precious soul who was wounded. And I think we should live this way. Live this way. I talked with a man recently whose father was so mercilessly dark, and he was so crushed by it. And just us talking, and he started weeping, and all that hurt came off of him. We're just talking, and that's the love of God. We should share the love of God as a body of Christ with one another. We should share it at home. We should live in it day and night. Can I hear an amen? And as a congregation, let's pursue that. And let's not know how to gossip. I don't even want to know. So somebody did something ugly and they shared what they suffered, you know, and you comfort them, but you don't tell anybody. Yeah. You tell nobody nothing. He said something most ugly. You never tell anybody. You take it to the grave. Jesus took all my sin to the grave. That's why God remembers my sin no more, because Jesus never tells. And that is love, folks. Love covers a multitude of sin. So you don't tell anybody. Virginia, she'll not tell me. I don't ask her. I don't want to know. I don't tell her. She don't want to know. That ought to be the culture. You ought not to have this culture. What did he? No, really? Oh, I can't believe. Oh, and then they go to church. You know, you expose yourself when you talk that way. You think you're talking about them, but you're exposing your own heart when you are that way. And it's ugly. It's ugly, folks. It's not love. Amen? Let's walk in love. Loving Father, thank you for gathering us here tonight. And thank you for the work you're doing in each and every one of us as you pour your love into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Oh, loving Father, where there's been sorrow and pain and difficulty that we can't bear, and it makes us angry, and then we feel bad we got angry. Oh, loving Father, I thank you that you enlarge us. Enlarge us, Father, where we couldn't bear it. Enlarge us, Lord, where we lost our temper, with your love, and give us the ability of your love that it bears up on anything and everything without failing. And your love that doesn't insist on its own rights. And your love that keeps hoping and believing the best. And your love that never fails. Oh, Father, let your love enlarge us, enlarge us, enlarge us until we become wholly filled and flooded with your love. And that river of your love flows from us, healing, cleansing, restoring, taking away all the offenses, taking away all the torments and afflictions, Father. Thank you for that healing love as a congregation, as a family, as a household. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' anointed name. Amen. Okay. Have a good night's sleep, everybody. And read 1 John. It's so beautiful. I love it. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for listening to our message today. We hope you feel encouraged, blessed, and strengthened for the week ahead. If there's anything you need, anything we can do at all to help and support you, please don't hesitate to contact us by visiting our website at www.lifechurchuk.org.